morning, everybody. Welcome to our Sunday morning Easter worship service. Would you please stand? And together we're going to lift up our voices as we sing, Rise, O Church, and lift your voices.
Rise, O Church, and lift your voices. Christ has conquered death and hell. Sing as all the earth rejoices, resurrection anthems swell. Come and worship, worship Christ the risen King. See the tomb where death had laid him, empty now his mouth declares. Death and I could not contain him, for the throne of life he shares. Come and worship, come and worship.
Good to look out and see all these cheery and smiley faces on Easter Sunday morning. As I was going around shaking people's hands, I found out for some folks today is their birthday. Wow, you know, you never think about having your birthday on Easter Sunday. But then I remembered, actually, my son was born on Easter Sunday. The unique thing about an Easter birthday is it changes all the time. The date changes. So that's kind of interesting. Good to have each of you in the Lord's house this morning. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you and we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for this wonderful church building you've prepared for us to be able to worship in. Most of all, we thank you for Jesus. For it is because of his death, burial, and resurrection, his sacrifice and gift, his conquering death, it is because of all that we have hope and faith, that we can look to you and worship one with another towards you. Thank you, Lord, for this very morning to celebrate your resurrection. Please be with us as we sing, as we look into your scriptures, as we lift our hearts up towards you. Please help us to honor you in every way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Amen.
Amen. Would you please stand together? We're going to lift up our voices as we sing some praise resurrection songs, beginning with "Death was arrested," and then finishing with "It was finished upon that cross."
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope and no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, ash was redeemed, only beauty remained. My orphan heart was given a name. My mourning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down. rose that we would be free indeed. Death was once my great opponent. Fear once had a hold on me. But the Son who died to save us rose that we would be free indeed. Yes, He rose that we would be free indeed. Free from every plan of darkness. Free to live.
Section of scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 down through 10. I was going to do another scripture. This is the scripture that I think is going to work for us. It is the beginning of chapter 15. My message later on is going to be from verses 12 through 20. But this background, I think, is very important for you to pick up on. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 down through 10. It's the apostle, as he writes to the church in Corinth under the inspiration of God, he's writing about the power of the resurrection. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we can get lulled into thinking somehow Easter is about furry bunnies and Easter eggs. And, of course, it's not about furry bunny or Easter eggs. It is about the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection. And for the early church, as well as for us all the way here at this time, it's really essential that we understand the power of that resurrection. So I'm going to read to you verses 1 down through 10. And then when I do my message, we're actually going to look at verses 12 through 20. But listen. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at one time, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, He was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So when I pick it up in a few minutes, after our offering and after some more songs, we're going to go to verses 12 down through 20, and we're going to hear about the strength, the power of the resurrection in our lives.
There is now a hope that lasts beyond our days. For the one that once was buried lived again. Now the tomb is bare and empty, and the stone is rolled.
stand searching, wanting something more. I'm the risen King who overcomes the world. Let there be dancing in the darkness, and let our song break through the night. Lift your voice and sing that Christ is King, for Jesus is alive. No more condemnation, no more doubt and fear. For our sin and shame, they have no power here. In His resurrection, perfect love has set the captives free. Praise the risen King who stands in victory. Let there be dancing in the darkness, and let our song break through the night. Lift your voice and sing that Christ is King, for Jesus is alive. Let there be dancing in the darkness, and let our song break through the night. Lift your voice and sing that Christ is King, for Jesus is alive.
Hallelujah, death is undone, hallelujah, Jesus has won, hallelujah, we overcome, oh, in Jesus, oh, in Jesus,
hallelujah, death is undone, hallelujah, Jesus has won, hallelujah. We overcome, oh, in Jesus, oh, in Jesus, hallelujah. Death is undone, hallelujah. Jesus has won, hallelujah. We overcome, oh, in Jesus, oh, in Jesus. Let there be dancing in the darkness, and let our song break through the night. Lift your voice and sing that Christ is King, for Jesus is alive. Let there be dancing in the darkness, and let our song break through the night. Lift your voice and sing that Christ is King, for Jesus is alive. Lift your voice and sing that Christ is King, for Jesus is
When we watch a video like that, it reminds us of the power of the day. It brings us there visually. It helps us to connect historically. The reality is the resurrection is every bit as powerful today as it was then. When we stop and just think for a moment about the transformation that was made to the world because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every time you write a date down, you're recognizing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every time you read history about the changes that happened in the world climate, the Reformation, the shift from barbarism to where people were sacrificing their own children to a time when people were humbly coming and worshiping God. We understand that historical shift happened because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You and I, we live in a day and age where in hindsight we can look back. But just imagine a small little country in the Middle East called Israel. And a little boy born to a carpenter's family who lived his life with the purpose of going to the cross for your sins and mine. And when he died upon that cross, it changed the world. But not just the world, it changed the eternity of everybody who would put their faith and trust in him. When we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the text I read to you about Christ appearing to Cephas and appearing to the 500, appearing to the apostles, and yes, appearing to Paul himself. The resurrection was a very verified thing, not only spoken of that day, but in record books still today read by ancient historians. The power of the resurrection then changed the world, still today changes hearts and lives when we put our faith and trust in the living Savior. When we pick it up in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12 on down, it says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. But if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." The apostle, as he writes, he is defending the faith of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. "Just as today, so also was in that day. Those who said, nobody can resurrect from the dead." He says, wait. But one has. And he has been witnessed. He's been seen. And he says to us, in fact, you can go back to Jerusalem and there are still people there today at his writing who are still alive who will testify to you that they saw Jesus Christ, the resurrected Savior. Then he comes down and he over and over again hammers down the strength, the power, the change that can be had through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, the very strength of preaching itself rests in the resurrection of Jesus. When you look at verse 14, the apostle writes, he says, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain also." But he wants to drive home the point that our faith is not vain. We are driven by the reality that Jesus Christ died for your sins and my sins. Yes, He was beaten. He was abused, as the video talked about. Yes, He was put into a tomb and a stone was rolled up. But He rose again. He had victory over death. And because He has victory over death as God Himself, so also He offers to every single one of us eternal life. It is the power of our preaching. The message, the salvation, even the work of the church, all hinges on the reality that Jesus Christ lived, died, was buried, and rose again. This morning at the end of the 7:30 service, we had baptism. Two young ladies that had received Christ as their Savior this year. One who had just received Christ on Friday, one in the fall when we had our revival. Two young ladies, one 15, the other one maybe 22, 23, something like that. The church still doing the work of the gospel. Baptizing in the picture, the image of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the power of the preaching of the gospel. It is because we have a living Savior. And yes, He does live. The scriptures teach us that He intercedes for us every day. The prayers that we cannot utter through the power of God, He brings before Himself. Christ does live. His resurrection is the very power of the preaching of the gospel. But it's not just preaching that the resurrection empowers. It is also the faith itself. You and I, we will never see in our lifetime. We're not going to see the stone roll from the tomb and Christ emerge. That happened. But we, by faith, we trust, we believe, we rest, we receive. The strength of the faith itself rests in the fact that Jesus Christ lives. When we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14, it says, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also is in vain." If we don't believe in the resurrection, He says our faith is vain. He says, in fact, we of all people would be most miserable if Christ had not risen. If there was no life in Christ, if He was not God who could raise from the dead, then we would be putting our faith in just the man. But He's not just a man. He is God in the flesh who came to die for your sins and mine. And upon that death, He arose. It is essential to our salvation itself. In fact, when we go to the simple plan of salvation, I was talking to somebody the other day and they said to me, "Well, I want to share my faith with my boyfriend." She said it was really important to her that she share how to receive Christ and how to come to know the Savior with her boyfriend. And I told her, I said, "That's great. That's really important." So I gave her the simple plan of salvation in a gospel tract. And in that is Romans chapter 10, verse 9. And I want you to hear how important the resurrection is. Romans 10, 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Woven through your New Testament is the reality that Jesus Christ, yes, was crucified, yes, was buried, but He rose and He lives today. It is essential to our faith. You can't be a Christian without believing in the resurrected Christ. He lives. We celebrate it every year at Easter. We celebrate the fact that that tomb was empty when the apostles, when Mary Magdalene, when her friends, when they approached, it was empty. It tells us they peered in. And as they peered in, it says Mary saw two angels, one sitting at the head and one sitting at the feet where Christ had laid. It tells us that the grave clothes were on the ground and there folded upon the seat was the face cloth. He gives us great detail, description of an empty tomb. It is a hinge pin of our faith. You can't have Christianity without the resurrection. But it is also the strength of our future. You see, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is really about talking about our resurrection as well as Christ's. He's talking to us about the reality that we too one day will be resurrected. Now that is a miracle that is yet to come and it's not yet happened, but it will. And the apostle, as he writes, as God inspires him to pen those words, he's driving home the point that if you say there is no resurrection, then you're denying Christ's resurrection because he is the first fruits of that resurrection. We too shall one day resurrect. So not only is Christ's resurrection the strength and power of our preaching, the strength and power of our faith, but it is the strength and power of our future as well. I'd like you to look with me at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. As they put on the screen, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." Meaning he has made us alive together with Christ. "By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together. And made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." When we start talking about the resurrection, we find that the Bible connects it not only to you and I being a part of the living Christ now, but rejoicing with him in eternity as God shows his grace and mercy by our presence in him. It is a miracle, a power that only rests in the resurrection. Yes, our future, the strength of the gospel, also hinges on our eternal future. Our physical resurrection one day will take place. Even as he talks about in 1 Corinthians 15:20, he says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." Is it not an amazing miracle to think that someday every believer, every one of us, somewhere as we are buried, our ashes shall be gathered by the miracle of God and our body will resurrect. Whether it be at the depths of the sea, whether it be in a graveyard, whether it be in some military battleground somewhere where they've never found our remains, by the miracle of God, he says to us, one day we all resurrect to be with him. When we start talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we start talking about the power of God at work in our lives. Christ rose, and therefore we have eternal life in him when we trust in him. Christ rose, so the scriptures teach us, we one day will rise in him. Christ lives, therefore you and I one day will live with him forevermore. So when we start talking about Easter, and we talk about Resurrection Sunday, and we enjoy our lunch with our family, my daughter with her children back here, the six kids, Joy, her husband, even Nanny sitting with them. They're packing the pew from end to end. And today we're going to have a nice lunch at the house. But you know what? It's not about the amazing lunch or the great hugs I'm going to get from my grandkids. It's about the resurrection. Amen. It's about the living, risen Savior. I'm going to dismiss this in prayer, and then John has a little chorus as we are dismissed. Father in heaven, we thank you that we could come and celebrate together. And I thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are here together with us today. Most of all, we thank you for the gift you've given us in the living Savior. We pray for your guidance throughout this day. Help us to celebrate throughout the whole day. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's lift up our voices as we sing just the chorus of He Lives. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. Dismissed this morning.